Well, turning your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 11. We'll start in Mark chapter 11 tonight. Not tonight. It's not night yet, is it? It doesn't matter. Our bodies are getting adjusted. We're just about there. I'm only waking up about one or two times instead of three or four in the night, you know, thinking, what time is it? Praise the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the Word of God. Are you ready to feast on the Word? God's got good things in store for you today. Father, we thank you for the Scriptures. We thank you for the Holy Bible, this precious book that's been delivered to us at the sacrifices of men and women all over the world who you have raised up to speak your words and to give us this word in print. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're our teacher and our guide. You lead us into all truth, even as we pore over these words of life. You speak to us. You illuminate us. You encourage us. You give us the strength that we need to run our race. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you know, it's amazing. By about the second or third night over there in Turkey, I realized, man, God is just speaking to me big time. It's almost like everything he'd been saying in the weeks leading up to the trip here in our church, he just kind of continued the voice over there through Mark Hankins. He ministered at night. How many of you have heard of Mark Hankins, been part of his teaching ministry? Really good faith teacher. And man, I just sat there eating it up. I said, man, this is just like what we've been chewing on back home. It's like, you know, Lord, you had to send me all the way to Turkey to hear part two. You know, it's like, but I want to tell you something. It's amazing how precious revelation truth is to our hearts. And I'll go all around the world if I have to hear it. Amen. You know, we met a guy on the trip, as an example, an older man who made a habit of collecting Rolex watches. Now, that's not a habit everybody takes up, but they're kind of pricey. And his son was telling me, he said, yeah, Dad's really into those Rolexes. He said a couple years back, he about sold the farm to buy this one limited edition model. He said he found one in a store, and it was like $60,000. But it was like the only one of its kind, and no one else knew about it, and he could get it at this ridiculously low price. Ridiculously low. Anyways, he told me this story, and he said his dad about sold the farm, like that story of Jesus where he tells about the man who sold for the pearl of great price, you know, and this guy bought the watch, and then a couple years later, there was like none on the market, and it like doubled in value. It's like worth of $120,000 now or something crazy. I thought, huh, yeah, that's as I was pondering that story, I was thinking this morning about how revelation truth is just like that. And, you know, there may be times the Lord says, I want you to go to this conference or this meeting or this. And you might have to pay your own way. You might have to pay your airfare and pay your gas and whatever. There's no price you can put on revelation truth. Amen. When God takes a truth and illuminates your heart with it, whether it's about healing, prosperity, redemption, forgiveness, whatever it is, those truths are eternal. And you can hardly put a price on them. Praise the Lord. Well, we're in Mark 11, aren't we? Why don't we stand and read it? Get your blood pumping right here. Mark 11, go ahead and stand with me as we read Mark 11, 22 and 23. If you have it memorized by now, just quote it. Amen. Then Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. You can be seated. I want to say a few things about mountains in your life. Mountains. First of all, there's no mountain in your life or in mine that is permanent, that is immovable, that is unchangeable. I'll say that again. There's no mountain in your life that's immovable, that's permanent, that's unchangeable. It's just that you've probably not been doing what Jesus said to do in Mark 11, 23. The question's not, is God on his throne or does God have power to move mountains in our life? The question may be, are you speaking to the mountain? Amen? There's no mountain immovable. And faith doesn't know how the mountain's going to move. Faith just knows. That's a little phrase the Lord gave me years ago. I thought it was pretty clever. Holy Spirit told me, he said, faith doesn't know how, it just knows. Faith just knows. Amen? So when you begin speaking to your mountain, you don't have to figure out up here in your noggin how that mountain's going to move from your life, how that healing's going to come in your body, how your bank account's going to change over time with the faith and the power of God. You don't have to understand the power. Look, I don't understand how electricity and air conditioning works. I have kind of a basic idea, but I don't know all the ins and outs. I just know when I flip the switch, good things happen. Amen? And I'm so glad for them. I don't have to get up in the middle of the night and keep my air conditioner running. Praise the Lord. But listen, faith doesn't know how that mountain's going to move. It just knows it's going to move. Amen? That's what faith does. Let me say something about speaking. We've learned that there's no such thing as silent faith. Silent faith. Faith is always speaking. Faith is always declaring the word of the Lord. The initial act of faith, in fact, is to move our mouth. Amen? One person believes it. Maybe two. All right. Faith may be must be strong enough to move your mouth if it's going to be strong enough to move your mountain. You might want to write that down. Faith must be strong enough to move your mouth if it's going to ever be strong enough to move your mountain. And oddly enough, it's not as easy as you think. Now, I don't know. We don't have too much trouble talking about, you know, the weather, sports, whatnot, our hobbies, our favorite, you know, pastimes, etc. We can jabber all day long about nothingness. But when it comes to the important things in our life, like getting our kids in line with Jesus. Are you with me?
Yes.
Getting our body in line with health.
Yeah. Yeah.
Getting our finances in alignment with what the Word says about the finances.
Yes.
For some reason, as one person said, you know, if we would all be a champion of faith if we did what Jesus said in Mark 11:23, and we added two words to it. If we spoke to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and did not doubt in our heart, but believed that those things which we say would come to pass, we would have whatsoever we saith in church.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's not what you say on Sunday. It's what you say Monday through Saturday.
Amen. That's right.
This is the huddle. You got to get out there and play the game. Amen?
Yeah.
This is the huddle for life. Praise the Lord. If we fail to declare our faith, we're allowing Satan to have the last word. I'll say that again. If you fail to declare your faith or vocalize it, you're giving Satan the last word. Remember that silly game show years ago on TV? The question used to be asked, final answer, right?
Yeah.
Final answer? Is that your final answer? See, Satan's always challenging us. And the question is, if we don't speak back to him, we don't talk to the mountain, we don't talk to the issue, we don't talk to the darkness that's tried to come and just land itself right in the middle of our joy party, well, we're giving him the final answer. Speak to it. Amen?
Amen.
Mark 11:23 says, speak to it. Mark 11:23 will work for anybody on anything.
That's right.
It will work for anybody on anything. You can put this principle into effect in any area of your life and see mountains move. Amen? You can see sickness move out of your body. You can see poverty move out of your bank account. You can see rebellion move out of your home. Strife move out of the workplace. Amen. You can speak to any mountain when you speak from a heart of faith and see that mountain move. John 10:10 declares that Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. Have abundant life. Not just get by till glory. Amen. You know, Christians for a long time have been very guilty of this mindset of, well, I've got a mansion over in glory, but for now I'm just going to struggle down here. Right? That's not Jesus's plan. Jesus saved us. So he raised us. Picture this dead body laying on the ground. And he raises this body up to life to then wrap that body with his goodness, his mercy, his overflowing kindness. The Bible says in Ephesians, we will forever sing the praises of his glorious grace. That we'll be like trophies shining for eternity, declaring how gracious our God was. Amen. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to save you from your sins and then give you life. There's one scripture in Galatians that says, Jesus Christ has set us free. And in the God's Word translation, it's really good. It says, Christ came to free us so we could enjoy the benefits of freedom.
Amen.
Jesus wants to love on you now.
Yes.
Jesus wants to heaven you now.
Yes.
Do you realize that?
Yes.
So many of us are living so far below the standard that Jesus paid the price for. And he came to give us heaven on earth. Say, heaven on earth. Look at this scripture on the screen, Colossians 1:23, the first part of the verse. It says this, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the, what? The hope held out in the gospel. I'm going to tell you something. The message of this gospel of Jesus offers people great hope.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Great hope. And boy, we saw the need for that when we stepped into a country like Turkey. I'm telling you, again, 90 million people. You know, scraping and clawing to eke out a living. You know, everywhere you looked, you saw poverty. People just doing what they could to get by, selling the funniest little trinkets on the street just to make a dime, just to make a buck. Struggling. And your heart goes out to them. You think, man, if they just had the blessing of God on them, you know? The blessing carries so much momentum with it. You don't have to try so hard. You don't have to sweat so much and grunt so much and cheat and claw and scratch, you know, to try to slide one out from another person, you know, with regard to money. I tell you, Jesus offers us great hope. Look at that verse again. Established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel.
Amen.
You don't have to settle for the lifestyle handed down to you from your ancestors once you've been saved in Jesus. You don't have to be limited by the lifestyle that was modeled before you. Amen? Now, some of you, if you're like me, you came from a pretty good home. Some of you may have come from terrible homes. I don't know who's who. But, you know, whether you came from a pretty good home, a horrible home, or a great home. You may have been, you know, you may have been born into a silver spoon kind of arrangement. And but it doesn't matter. Jesus' standard is higher.
That's right.
Amen. When he says, I came to give you abundant life, we can't fathom what that means. There's not a dollar amount you can limit God with in your mind to say, this is abundant life. If I make X month, X thousand dollars a year, that's abundant life. No, Jesus offers you abundant life beyond your comprehension. Yeah. Amen. Listen, if you were raised in an urban jungle, and we spent a lot of time around urban jungles, Istanbul's an urban jungle. I started almost, you know, you almost want to hyperventilate, like show me some trees and grass and give me some wide open Texas spaces, you know. But if you've been raised in an urban jungle, for example, and you have a desire for some land and for some just breathing space out in the country, listen, you can have whatsoever you desire in the Lord. Amen. You can move the mountains in your life, and you can step out beyond where your parents, your grandparents were limited in their thinking, right?
Amen.
And you can go further.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. That's good news. That's good news. Luke 4:18, Jesus said there were several groups of people he came to minister to. It says he came to preach good news to the poor. Right off the bat. What did Jesus prioritize in the anointing that he brought for mankind? Good news for the poor. And I'm telling you, the gospel, everywhere it goes throughout the earth, it brings prosperity. Listen, John 3:16, we know so well, God so loved the world that he what? He gave. And that doesn't stop just because we become his children. Again, that mindset of, okay, he gave me salvation, now I'll just wait here and struggle till I die, and then he'll give me a home in glory. No, 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 no. God so loved the world, he gave and he gives and he gives and he gives.
Yes.
John the Apostle, in writing his gospel, said, and of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. It never stops coming, amen, to the child of God who believes and takes it. Praise the Lord. It's true whether you amen it or not. It's true. God does not stop his giving just because we become his children. The giving doesn't stop. Amen? He gives and he gives and he gives. Look at Romans 8:32 in your Bibles. Turn over there. Romans 8:32. Hallelujah. One of my favorite verses. Romans 8:32. Are you there? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Say all things.
All things.
All things. Let me tell you something. Every blessing other than Jesus is a lesser blessing. Do you see what they're saying there in that passage? If God the Father gave us Jesus, spared not his own son, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Child of God, whatsoever you desire is already given. Let me put it this way. It's already guaranteed. Why? Why can I say that? Because every other blessing that we could hope for, think of, pray about in this life other than Jesus is a lesser blessing. I said it's a lesser blessing. He is the greatest blessing of all. And if God gave us Jesus, surely he will give us every other blessing. Romans 8:32. Memorize it. It's a promise for every child of God. Amen. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Amen. All things. Ephesians 1 and 2, those first two chapters in the book of Ephesians, which we've been doing a study on these last few months, and Wednesday night we do a Bible study out at the Rotary House. So come join us, 7 to 8 p.m. You'll enjoy it. Ephesians 1 and 2 have talked over and over about the rich, overflowing grace of God.
Yes.
The abounding grace of God. I just want to spill that word over your head this morning. God's grace to you is abounding.
Amen.
It's abounding. Amen. We saw that again, as I said, time and time again on this trip, just over and over again, the goodness of God, little things. You know, God knows that we Americans are slaves to creature comforts. But He loves us. Amen. And even the silly things, the things that really mean something to us in here, but are really trivial, they're important to God. Why? He's just that good. He is that loving. And He gave it over and over again as we made our way through that land. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. The best response to a big gift is just a big thank you.
Yes.
You can't earn this kind of blessing. You can't deserve this kind of blessing. Listen, when it comes to the inheritance the Bible talks about in the New Covenant, the gifts that God speaks of giving us, you cannot earn them. They must simply be received.
Yes.
And how do you receive a gift? You just take it and say thank you.
Amen.
Amen. You take it and say thank you. And everything we take in the kingdom, we take by faith. Faith is the hand that reaches out and takes God's grace. That's how it works in the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
You need to get ahead in life. You've been behind financially. You want to get further down the road than you've been. Take it by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Get in the book and find out what God says in His covenant, the new covenant, about your prosperity, and take it by faith.
Right.
It's yours. It's yours. All things are yours. All things. I said all things are yours.
Amen.
Romans 5:17. Go back a couple chapters to the left there. Romans 5:17. Well, we heard a great teaching the first night we were in Turkey on the joy of the Lord, how important joy is in our as an expression of our faith. Well, that first night that they preached it was kind of like breaking fresh ground with the Turkish believers that were there, and you could tell some people were kind of like, I don't know, that might be too happy to talk about that much joy. But by the third night, Friday night, they also preached on joy again. They brought it up again. And you could tell the heart had been primed. People's hearts were more ready to receive even more and step into it. And we started as a congregation, we just started laughing at our problems. We started dancing in the aisles over our problems. Amen. Rejoicing in the Lord, taking that word to heart and just receiving what was being preached by faith.
Amen.
Not having seen any change in our circumstance, not having seen any change in symptoms, but just taking the word of God for what it is, and what God said He would give us, we took it by faith and we just rejoiced in it. And that's what God wants us to do. Just take the things that He's offered us by faith. Amen. Look at Romans 5:17. I love this verse as well. There's some really, really great stuff in Romans. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, who's that talking about?
Adam.
Mm-hmm. Much more they which receive abundance of grace. Say abundance of grace.
Abundance of grace.
God has an abundance of grace for His children. I'll read it again. Abundance of grace. God has an abundance of grace for His children. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Abundance of grace. And of the gift of righteousness. Listen, that's what qualifies us for every blessing. The gift of God's righteousness qualifies you for every blessing. Those who receive, I'm going to read it again slowly, the abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness shall what? Reign in life by one Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How does a believer reign in life? Receiving. Receiving. You might say another word, it would seem maybe a bit irreverent, but it's not, because it's the same thing you do when you go to the bank and you put in a withdrawal slip. What do? You take the money.
Yes.
Taking. Receiving. Amen? How do we reign in life, believers? We receive.
Yes.
What do we receive? This verse tells us the abundant grace that God's provided and the gift of righteousness.
Yes.
Amen. That gift again qualifies you for every blessing. You can't earn it. You must just take it. I wrote this down yesterday that I asked the Holy Spirit. I said, come on, give me some more. What are you trying to say here? What do you want to say to your people? And He gave me this quote. You can write it down. I won't charge you for it. But God doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what Jesus deserves.
Amen. Yes.
God does not give you what you deserve. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Right? Now, we understand that concept in regard to salvation. Praise God. Through the cross, through the mercy of God, we don't get what we deserve as sinners. But even after we're born again, are you with me? As children of God, God does not give you what you deserve. If you think you're earning the blessings of God, you got to get in the book and figure out the truth of what this book says about blessings. It does not say we reign in life by our efforts. It says we reign in life as we receive. Say receive. God gives us not what we deserve, but what Jesus deserves. Can you say praise the Lord?
Amen.
Isn't that good? That's the extent of our salvation. How many takers we got in here today?
Amen.
How many receivers we got in here?
Amen.
How many reigners in life?
Yes.
I don't know if that's a real word, but those who want to reign in life.
Yes.
How do you reign in life?
Amen.
You receive. Listen, God's already given it. Grace has been given to us already. It's already been imparted. It's like someone putting the deposit in your bank account. It's there already.
Amen.
And as believers, every time we discover a new promise in this book, it's like going to the bank and putting in a withdrawal slip. That's mine.
Yes, it is.
I'll take it. That's for me. I know it's in my account. I'll take it now. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And you only withdraw based on what you know that God has given. But I'm telling you, He's given you all. That's the message of the gospel. That's the goodness of the Lord in the message of the gospel. Turn over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter's near the end of the Bible, right just before Revelation and the Johns. By the way, we saw old-timey Johns when we were in Turkey. It was so cool. They have really, really pretty similar toilets there as what we do. I'm talking about the ancient ruins at the ruins site. That's pretty cool. We'll show you slides Wednesday night. You got to come just for that. But they didn't have privacy. I don't know what they were thinking when they designed those bathrooms. It was kind of crazy. Anyways, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Like precious. I love that phrase. What does that speak of? It speaks of when you get to heaven, you're going to meet people that walked this earth the way you're walking this earth. By faith. By faith. We have obtained like precious. We're going to have that in common with the people that walk the streets of gold with us. We have like precious faith. Amen. We could camp on that for a while, but we'll move on. With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. I love that in the King James. Grace not just be added. How many of you like multiplication when it comes to something coming your way? Amen. That's so much better. Amen. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now look at this. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. Say all things.
All things.
All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now let's unpack these verses just a little bit. I want you to see that grace has given you all things. Hello.
Yes.
Grace has given you all things. There's a verse in Psalms that says, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you what? The desires of your heart. Grace has already imparted it to you. This scripture says here, because of Jesus, we have been made rich in Christ. Amen. We have been given all things in Christ. I want to say it once more. Grace has given us all things. Faith takes what grace provides. If you're taking notes, make note of that. Grace has given us all things. Faith takes what grace has provided. Amen. But there's a part for us to play. And what is that part? Faith. The taking. Amen. It's like putting the withdrawal slip in when you go to the bank. That's your part. And how do we take? Well, you partake of every blessing the same way you partook of the blessing of salvation. How did you get saved? You believed in your heart, the Lord Jesus. You confessed with your mouth, right, that God raised him from the dead, and you were saved. So we believe in our heart. We confess with our mouth. Are you with me?
Yes.
It's a lot of talking going on around here. Praise the Lord. That's what we want. Talking. Now notice that says there, how does the grace come to us? Last part of verse 2, look at it again. It comes to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How do you increase grace in your life? Find out more. Through knowledge. How do you get knowledge? Open the book. This will tell you, you know, when a person dies and they leave what's called a last will and testament, we use that phraseology, this is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ to you and I. This tells you everything that God has provided. And I love the word in here. His divine power has given us all things. Listen, if it pertains to life or godliness, God has already provided for you all things. Are you with me? I got hope some people will take that today. It's true. Praise the Lord. You know, when you take a bath in the natural, doesn't a good shower feel good? Especially this time of year when you sweat. Sometimes we wake up and we can tell by the temperature and the humidity, we look at each other and say, it's going to be a two a day. You know, in football, when your kid's growing up, they do two practices a day. We joke about how this time of year, it's like two showers a day minimum. And but you know, when you take a bath, you take a shower, what happens? The water rinses off the dirt, the sweat, the toxins, all that stuff, and your body feels refreshed. When you get in this book, just like a natural bath, when you start to read these promises and pour over God's word, it bathes your mind and washes away just naturally. You don't even feel it happening. But unbelief and doubt and poverty and sickness and depression just gets washed away from your mind in Jesus. Amen? Why? Because he's already given us all things. All things that pertain to life and godliness are here in these promises from Jesus. Amen? So it comes to us through the knowledge of him. Now I want you to look at that last part of verse 3. We're not done quite yet. You might want to underline this. He's called us to what? Glory. In the King James it says to glory and virtue. I want to say this because you start talking about money in church, people start to get a little jittery. Right? Right. Because we've seen some excesses over the years. We've seen, you know, ministers or ministries use money inappropriately, or at least as the world deemed inappropriate. I'm not so sure as much as we accused actually was wrong. Are you with me? The world loves to accuse Christians for misusing money. They love it. They love it. But listen, you can have wealth and character. You can have wealth and integrity. This verse says God's called us to, look at it again, glory, which encompasses health. Amen. It doesn't feel too glorious in life if you don't have health in your body. It doesn't feel too glorious in life if you don't feel very much glory if your bank account's hurting and you can't pay the bills, right? But God has called us to glory and virtue. What is that? That's the underlying bedrock character that sustains us, amen, in the midst of prosperity. You can have prosperity and still keep your head on straight. Did you know that?
Yes.
I'm preaching to some folks I'm hoping is going to get a hold of this and become some millionaires in here. Because the gospel needs some funding, amen? Everything we want to do in the kingdom for the Lord, it's going to take money in some way or another. And if you'll get a hold of these promises, you can step into that which Jesus has provided. What has he provided for us? Glory. When was the last time you looked at your paycheck and said, man, that's glorious. I just love what they're paying me at this company. That is glorious. Well, you might be saying that by faith. But if you're not that excited about your paycheck yet, maybe you haven't quite stepped into 2 Peter chapter 1 through 3, verses 1 through 3, right? Because the Lord has called us to glory along with virtue. Amen? You can have both in the kingdom. I believe it. We are his children. We're not abusers of money. We're not greedy. We're not idolatrous. Are you with me?
Yes.
I'm preaching you into this in case you didn't notice, all right? I'm preaching you into what the word says. You can have glory and virtue. Amen. That's your promise, child of God, to have glory and virtue. It's yours. Take it. Take it. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I have a book on my bookshelf at home, How to Be Happy Though Rich. Some people think, well, those rich people, they got a lot of money, but they're really not happy. Huh? I don't know. You might try it sometime. Now, riches don't make you happy. If you can't find joy in Jesus, you're not happy, period. And there are a lot of broke people inwardly. They're tremendously poverty-stricken because they're trying to grasp in the natural what only their spirit can be fulfilled with, and that is Jesus. Amen? But you can be happy and wealthy in the Lord. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? It's a blessing to be able to enjoy your wealth. The Bible says that in Ecclesiastes. It says it's a blessing, it's a gift from God for a man to enjoy the good things in life that the Lord has given us. Amen?
Amen.
You know, there's a phrase in the world that says, ah, that's living, right? This is living. You see a guy swinging on a hammock next to a beautiful beach in Hawaii or whatever, and he looks over at his buddy or looks over at his wife and says, this is living. Well, you know, you're starting to tap into some of these promises of God when you stop and you have a moment in life when you go, this is living. And Jesus goes, yeah, that's what I paid for. Amen. John 10:10. That's what I paid for. I came to destroy the thief in your life and give you what you just said. This is living.
Yes. Amen.
Isn't he a good God?
Yes.
He's a great good God.
Yes, he is.
Are you at Galatians?
Yep.
Galatians 3. Verse 2, this only I would learn of you, you Galatians. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Underline that phrase, hearing of faith, or highlight it, circle it. That is a very important phrase, the hearing of faith. That's the title of my message today, by the way. The hearing of faith. As you hear from this book what God has provided for you in Jesus, the Bible refers to that experience as the hearing of faith. You know your faith has ears. Your spirit man has ears, and it's always listening for the promises of God. It's attuned to that. And when someone gets up and preaches, or you read the Bible yourself, and you see words leap off the page that are God's promise to you, that's called the hearing of faith.
Yes.
And Paul says here to the Galatian church, he says, I want to learn, did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law, and that means your own effort, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He, therefore, that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? There's that phrase again. Underline it, circle it, highlight it. The hearing of faith. Say that with me. The hearing of faith. Say it one more time, all whole room. The hearing of faith. There's nothing quite so powerful that I know of in the kingdom as the hearing of faith. Listen, you can get your body healed through the hearing of faith. You can get your bank account healed through the hearing of faith. You sit long enough under good teaching about the prosperity that Jesus paid for. Listen, Jesus was stripped naked on Calvary. You know, we say a guy is really generous if he'll give you the shirt off his back. Jesus not only lost a shirt off his back, he lost everything. And the Bible says he was made poor that we might be made rich. They didn't just do that to Jesus. They couldn't have done it to him if it wasn't part of the prophecy. You know that? Jesus would have been fully clothed on that cross if it weren't part of the purchase of our prosperity. Are you with me?
Amen.
He literally lost the shirt off his back so we could be clothed with dignity. Listen, prosperity is not just about money. It's about dignity. When you can pay your bills and you're confident in life, Jesus likes that you feel dignified. He's not against dignity. Now, he doesn't want pride in your life, but he doesn't mind dignity. Amen? He created us to be like him, to walk before him in dignity and in honor. And it's not honorable when you can't pay your bills. You can get your bank account healed through the hearing of faith. You can get your marriage healed through the hearing of faith. Unbelief is curable. Isn't that good news? Unbelief is curable. How do you cure unbelief? You sit under the word some more. Amen? You got dried stuff in the bottom of your coffee cup? Just put it under the faucet and let the water run over it. Amen? You sit under teaching, and the more you need the Lord, you sit yourself under teaching more. You ought to be at every service. If your life's hurting right now, you ought to not miss a service with us here. Why? Because we're pouring the word in your life. We're pouring out the words of life that will restore you and make you strong. Amen? It's not just because we're good preachers or this or that. It's nothing to do with me. It has to do with this book.
Amen.
The power of this message. Amen? This message has the power to change your life. I'll say it again. The hearing of faith can heal your body. It can heal your bank account. It can heal your home, your marriage, everything. There's no hopeless case if you'll sit yourself under the word of God.
Amen.
And the promises of Jesus. Amen? Aren't you glad?
Yes.
One last scripture, Mark chapter 4. I was in a meeting recently, and I was so blessed by the people around me. I could tell that their minister, their pastor, had just groomed them to be good receivers. You could tell by the way they responded to his message while the word was being preached. They were amening. They were taking it. They were laying hold in real time of everything that was being said from the pulpit that was of God. Amen? And I'm telling you, it's just, in the kingdom, it is such an amazing thing, this idea of receiving, of having this hearing of faith, that in the moment when the word is preached to you and your faith rises up and says, yeah, that's for me, I'll take it. That is so powerful. I can't tell you, I can't stress enough how powerful that is in transforming someone's life. And so if you need healing in your body, if you need financial restoration, whatever it is, you need to get yourself under the word. And 1 hour a week on Sunday is not enough.
Amen.
case you hadn't noticed, if things aren't changing quite quick enough, you need to increase the word. I'll tell you a little secret. Most of us have a cell phone. You need to download the Victory app. There's about 20, 30 teachers on there. You'll find somebody you like. You may not like all of them, but you'll find somebody on the Victory app, and it will bless you, and you can pour the word on day and night. It's 24/7 teaching on the Victory app. Praise the Lord. Are you in Mark 4?
Yes.
Well, Jesus had just got done talking about the parable of the sower. In verse 26, he says, "And so the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise," not to motion sensor the air conditioner, but just rise in the daytime, "night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how." He knoweth not how. Underline that in your Bible. Circle it. Highlight it. That is a very powerful phrase. He knoweth not how. Listen, you may not know how your mountain's going to move. You may not know how the change is going to come. That's not your concern. Amen. Your concern is hearing the word and hearing the word and hearing the word and believing the word and speaking the word. What does it say there? Over time, that seed will spring up. Verse 27. It will grow up. He knoweth not how. That's the miracle of seed faith.
Yes.
That's the miracle of this thing we're talking about, the hearing of faith. You plant the seed of God's word in your heart and you believe it and speak it and pour of it and chew on it and think on it day and night. And I'm telling you, saints, it will produce something in your life. You don't know how that happened.
Yeah. That's
why we call it a wonder.
Amen.
He's a God of signs and wonders, right?
Yes.
So we scratch our head and wonder, how'd he do that? Because you put the miracle seed of his promise in your life. Amen. Then look at verse 28. "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself." Say, of herself.
Herself.
Listen, this word has the power within itself to bring forth fruit. Are you with me?
Yes, it does.
The word brings forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. What is that? That's the harvest. Amen. That's the King James way of saying just the full stalk full of fruit or grain or whatever we planted. "But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." You ought to underline that. Oh, that's shouting time. The harvest is come. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. If you're faithful in the word, the harvest will come.
Yes, it will.
The harvest will come. But it comes through first the hearing of faith. The hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and believing in your heart. Amen. It's not just enough to hear the word. You got to believe it in your heart. And then you got to start what? Speaking, right? God's word was spoken in the beginning so that it could be written. It was written so that we could speak it.
Yes.
I'll say that again. God's word was spoken so then it could be written. And then it was written so that we could speak it. Amen. And so through the hearing of faith, this beautiful parable that Jesus tells here, the sickle comes because the harvest is come. Praise the Lord. Let's read on, verse 30. "And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or wherewith shall we compare it again? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth." Verse 32. "But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, shooting out great branches, so the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." I have no idea what that means, but it sounds good to me. Amen. It tells me that the word of God, when it's planted in our life, it has the power to grow exceedingly great and even provide shade. Listen, you want to provide shade for your neighbor, for your family, for your cousins, even those honorary uncles, whatever. You plant the word of God in your life, and I'm telling you, the blessings will overflow. You'll provide shade for those that need a little break in life.
Yes. Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
And it comes through the hearing of faith. Amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you, God wants to move some mountains in 2023. Mountains don't move because we want them to, or even because we're waiting on God to do something about them. Mountains move. Why? Because we tell them to. I'll say it again. Mountains move because we tell them to.
Yes.
Not because you want them to move. You got to do some talking.
Amen.
And if you could see what's on the other side of that mountain, you would do some talking. Why? Because what's on that mountain many times is blocking the fullness that God has for you. Again, John 10:10, what did Jesus say? "I've come to give them life, life more abundantly." Amen. God's not a get rich quick scheme, but I'm telling you, the riches of heaven are at our disposal if we'll only believe. And if we'll speak and move mountains. You got a mountain in your life? Move it. Speak to it. I'm not off this subject till the Holy Ghost tells me to get off of it. Mark 11:22-23. You might as well memorize it. You're going to hear it every Sunday, at least for a while, till we get shifted by the Holy Ghost a different direction. Why? Because God wants us to do something so that we can see something in our life. He wants us to say something so we can see things shift and change. Amen? Why don't you stand together with me? Hey, it's only August 27th today?
Yep.
There's still time left in the year for you to create a vision board. Put it in your closet, put it in your bathroom, put it anywhere. You just take a little bulletin board, right? A little cork board. I've got one in my closet. It's about a foot wide by about a foot and a half, 2 feet tall. And you pin up pictures on that of what you're believing God for. Amen? What life looks like on the other side of the mountain. We call that a vision board. Amen? Why? Because when you put something visually before your eyes and you see it day and night, night and day, you don't realize it, but like the scripture says, we knoweth not how. We knoweth not how, but that seed is getting sown into your heart, and you're watering that seed. Every time you see that picture, you're watering that seed with your faith, and you're saying, yeah, that's for me. That's mine in Christ Jesus. Amen? You're taking it. Your hand of faith is reaching out and taking it every time you see that picture. You ought to create a vision board. If you've never done it, try it. It's fun. Amen? How many of you have tried it and seen God bring amazing things to pass in your life? Raise your hand real high. Let me see. A few of you? Oh, not enough. Not enough. Amen? We're a vision church. Vision-rich church. Amen? Oh, I'll say it again. We're a vision-rich church. If you want to take some things, you're going to have to take them. You take them by faith. You take them by hearing of faith. And you take them by exercising your own lips and declaring what God has given to you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that the seed is sown. We thank you that we have hope held out to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've given us great hope, Jesus. And as the Apostle Peter so boldly declared, you've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I thank you for lifting us up above where we've walked in life, into a new station in living, a new way of living that is abundant, as you define abundant. Lord, it's not our definition. I want to tell you that this morning, church. Your definition of abundant is lame. Yes. You can open your eyes. I'm going to talk to you for a bit before we wind down. Your definition of abundance is lame compared to his definition of abundance. I remember when I was dating Terry, we were playing in a worship band together at Living Stones Church. And back then, 528 was a two-lane little country road. It was dark. I'd be driving to band practice at night. It's just dark all the way down 528 from the Gulf Freeway to Living Stones. And I'd drive past this. There was this little wooden house off to the side, little pretty country-looking little white wooden house. And I think Terry and I were engaged at this point. And I was thinking to myself, man, if I could just have a house that nice. I mean, it was, you know, by today, by my thinking, it would be a place I'd put my lawnmower now, you know, it'd be like my tool shed. But it was that small, and it was quaint. But my definition of abundance could only go so far. Listen, your definition of abundance is so far below what Jesus has for you. Amen. And God has blessed us beyond what we can imagine. Yes. Amen. He's blessed us according to our faith many times. Years later, I had a notebook. It wasn't a vision board per se, but I had a three-ring binder, and I had a picture cut out of a magazine of a house that looks almost identical to the house I'm living in today. Wow. And two fine cars in the driveway. Guy out there washing his car, and it almost looks like me. I mean, it's just spot on. Why? Because if your faith is looking for vision. Yes. Your faith is looking for vision. I'm telling you, in this book is everything that you need for life. And God is a good, good God. He's a generous God. He has given so much in Jesus. If you don't take it, and I don't take it in this life, what is it considered? You know, when we were in Istanbul, they said, you know, when you go into different shops and things, and they offer you a drink, they offer you tea or coffee. If you don't take it, they consider it an insult. You may not be in the mood for tea. You take the tea. Listen, God has given us all things. That's what this book talks about. Jesus came to purchase an abundant way of living for us. And we insult him when we don't take the gift. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You just take it and say, thank you. Amen. Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for all that you purchased. Not just our ticket out of hell, but heaven on earth in this life, in your goodness, what you define as abundant life. We thank you for it, Jesus. We bless your name. We leave here today rejoicing in what you've given to us, rejoicing in what you've provided for us with your generous hand, the hope held out for us in the gospel. We're so grateful for it, Lord, and we tell you, thank you. Let's just tell him today, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. Come Wednesday night if you want to see more pictures of turkey. It's going to be a great time. We're going to share more with you from what the Lord did on the trip. It was a great time in the Lord. Bless you. Have a great week.